So we're in Galatians. We're going to wrap up Galatians 3. Galatians 3:10 says, "For as many as are works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law." So if we turn over to Deuteronomy, so now we have to remember Paul is trying to impress upon these Galatians who have been led astray, led to believing that they needed to follow parts of the old law to be. Am I too loud? I feel loud. My wife will say yes, because she can hear me. They've been led astray. So they've been told that they have to follow works of the law. And we thought that it would be good if we went back to Deuteronomy chapter 27 and just looked at a couple of verses. So we're in Deuteronomy 27. And we'll just start in verse 16. Deuteronomy 27, verse 16. Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmarks. In other words, steals his property. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due the stranger, fatherless, and widow. We'll just skip. We'll go. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of animal. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. Cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, what?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 26. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law by observing them. This is something that the Jews knew, right? So Paul is coming back and he's telling these individuals, do you remember? And we're gonna go through, we're gonna talk about some things. We're gonna read the remainder of the chapter, and then we're gonna come back and touch on some points. So what I want to do is I want you guys to participate because you know I can talk for the entire 40 minutes. Will somebody read verse 10 through 14? Just raise your hand if you'll do that. 10 through 14 in Galatians. Okay. Then I need 15 through 18. Who will read that for me? Di. And then Jane, will you read 19 through 25? Can you do that? And then lastly, 26 through 29. Who wants to read that? Have you noticed I have a tendency to look over here? Go ahead, Diane. You can read that one. Okay. So what I want is I want you to get your Bibles up or your device. So that your head's up, take a breath, and I want you to read nice and loud so that we can hear you. So just a continuation. When the person in front of you ends, then you start. Go ahead, Chris.
Anyway, 10 through.
10 through 14.
For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written. Cursed is everyone that cometh not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them.
Okay.
Christ hath remembered, redeemed us, excuse me, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a cure for it as, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reading.
You're all right. It's an intimidating thing. Took me a lot of years to be able to do it. I would practice and practice and practice.
I can take another crack at it.
Yeah, keep going. We're not gonna let you stop.
Okay. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might once on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through him.
Thank you.
Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it is only a man's covenant. Yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. From now, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. What I am saying is this, the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise, but God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise.
Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels for the agency of a mediator until the seed should come to whom the promise had been made. Now a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. Is the law then contrary to the promise of God? May it never be. For if a law has been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. But the scripture has shut up all men under sin, and the promise of by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But there, before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be received. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the law, under a tutor.
So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have filled yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Awesome. Thank you. So one thing to remember as we're muddling through our scriptures, if we're reading out loud, is everybody in here has a Bible, right? And the first thing that I do is ask everyone in here to turn to those pages. So if we pronounce a word wrong, so what? If we have a hard time pronouncing words, so what? And like I said, you know, but early on, this is intimidating up here, right? And so when I would have to read scriptures, I needed to know in advance so I could read them and 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 read them. Because I had this fear of making mistakes in front of y'all. Well, guess what? You've all figured out I'm not perfect. So there's no point in worrying about it. If we make a mistake, we're going to make a mistake. And if it's a Gaston mistake, Lenny's going to raise his hand and say, right? But let's just be okay with it. So, again, you know, Paul's impressing upon these Gentiles that the law has some flaws, right? So, we're going to start out with what the law couldn't do. So, if we look at the entire chapter of chapter 3, we can read in verse 2 that the law could not cause one to receive the Spirit. So through the law, you didn't get the Spirit, did you? How'd you get the Spirit?
Through baptism.
Say it?
Through baptism.
Through baptism, right? Through obedience. Through faith. The law could not cause the working of miracles. Why is that important to these Galatians? Because they saw miracles, right, Chris? Yeah, they saw miracles. Where did those miracles come from? Did they come from the law?
No.
If they had come from the law, Paul would have been doing miracles prior to his conversion. Right? So the law could not redeem one from the curse that we read about earlier. What did the law do in regards to that curse?
Put us under the curse.
Yeah, put us under the curse. Right? So the law put us under a curse. We just went through, and there's some of those things in Deuteronomy, like, I would never do that. Right? But there's other things that maybe you would do, or maybe you have done, or maybe people close to you have done. You know? Fudged on your taxes a little bit. You know? Not you. Whatever it is. Right? So the law could not, so verse 17, the law could not annul a covenant that was confirmed by God. So it couldn't wipe out that covenant, could it? And we'll talk about that here in a minute. Verse 18, it couldn't bring an inheritance. Verse 21, could the law bring life? No. Verse 26 through 29, could the law make somebody a son of God in Christ? Was there an inheritance in the law? No. So what did the law do?
Condemned.
What'd you say, Chris?
It held you, adopted you, kind of like possessed you.
It possessed you. What'd you say?
Condemned.
Condemned. So the law placed everyone under a curse. Verse 10. The law caused everyone to do everything in regards to the law. Verse 12. In other words, either do it all or don't bother doing it. Now that's the wrong attitude. Right? The law made everyone aware of sin and its consequences. We read about that in verse 19. Verse 22, we read that it brought us all under the bondage of sin. But verse 24, I think, is the most important part, because right now all we've done is talk about the negativity of the law, right? Why was there a law? That sounds awful. But what was it? It was a tutor. Right? It was preparing them. The law had a purpose. But its purpose wasn't salvation. Its purpose was to teach obedience. Accountability. So what did they have to do if they sinned? What they do every year? What they do on their festival? What they do?
Sacrifice.
They sacrificed. They went before a priest. Have we ever heard of the term scapegoat?
Yeah.
Yeah? Put the sins on a goat.
Yeah.
Send a goat out into the desert.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound like something man would come up with?
The other one got killed, so
yeah.
So, sacrificed, excuse me.
But the law was given, if you think about this, really because of lawlessness. So while the law was being given to Moses, what was happening?
People were sinning.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we need a God. We don't have a God right now. We need a God. What are we going to do? We're going to take all of our gold and we're going to give it to Aaron. And Aaron's going to make a golden calf and we're going to worship that And because that's going to lead us by a pillar of fire. Right? That's what man does on his own. So God gave a law, a set of rules for people to follow because he knows that we're fallible. Carol.
Also, those laws show you how to be good because God is good. So it's not just a tutor. It shows you how to be good.
Right. It's something to strive for, isn't it? Right? So we could just say, well, I got that one wrong, so from now on, there's no point in doing the rest of them right. Right? Wrong attitude. The laws were to teach you. So what the Ten Commandments. First commandment, say it loud. That's not loud. If you're in the front, they can't hear you in the back. What is it?
Love God.
Love God. What's the second commandment?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself. And when Christ was asked about that, how did he describe the rest of it? The rest of the law. There's eight more. But they hang on those first two, don't they? And so when we look at, if you've got the time and the energy to read all of Deuteronomy, and we see all of these laws, they're really about how to treat each other right. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy that we have to have laws to make us treat each other right? Some of you probably don't need as many laws as some of us do. I need those laws. I need the laws to protect people that irritate me. I need those. Right? You need that kind of stuff. But it's just crazy to me that we needed that. But so God gave these laws to teach the people how to be walking a walk in accordance with him. The problem, and it's not a problem with God, this was set up from the beginning of time. Did God think that anybody was going to follow all of those commandments completely?
Well, he knew no one could. That's why he sent Jesus.
Yeah. So, but it's an interesting dynamic to me, just the whole thing, right? So some of us, especially if you haven't raised children or taught a class, think, well, why don't we just give everybody the information from the jump and they'll just all do it right, right? You know, when I teach young people how to drive, that's terrifying, right? But what I've learned about young people is that if you tell them what could go wrong before it goes wrong, what are they going to say? Yeah, I know. So as long as it didn't total my car or kill somebody, I let them make mistakes. Because after you make that mistake, then it's a little bit easier to learn from it. I do that at work all the time, and they get so mad at me. Why didn't you just tell me? Why don't you just tell me what the math is? Well, you're never going to learn, are you? You have no idea. If you want to know what I'd like to work for, just volunteer to work for me in front of my wife, and she will pull you aside. Yes.
It has a lot to the commandment that says you're supposed to love your parents so that you have a long life. Knowing you, that's a good one for you.
I was pushover, honestly. Sorry. I had girls. Dylan, you're lucky. You weren't raised by me. Boys, God didn't give me boys for a reason. I would have been a lot harder on a boy. I just would have. So because he knows the kind of person that I am, he gave me girls. That's what I wanted to raise, was girls. Don't ask me why. But that's what I wanted to raise. But Vicky was way tougher. Not meaner, just tougher, firmer than me. We're going to try something. I haven't used this for a long time. I think it'll work. Did you all remember that was there?
Yeah.
So here's what the Jews think of. Okay? So there's this promise, right? Then there's the law. How much time went by between the promise and the law?
Oh, 400
years. It's in that scriptures.
400.
Yeah, over 400 years, right? 430, lost it. Yeah, 430 years. Okay, so right here we got people or individuals. So this is what the Jews were teaching. Promise to Abraham. Okay? God made a promise to Abraham. What was God's promise to Abraham?
The whole nation would be blessed.
Okay, do we know where that's at?
Be around me.
Where at? How about if we go to Genesis?
Okay, that will help.
Genesis 12.
Okay? So we're going to read in Genesis, and we're going to start with what Lenny said, Genesis 12. Okay? And we're going to read Genesis 12, verse 3. If I quit. Okay. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Verse 2, he says, I will make you a great nation. So one of God's promises to Abraham was, I will make you a great nation. If we stop right there, we can understand how the people would think that the promise came to Abraham. They were given the law. The law saves the people. But let's back up. Let's go back up. Let's go forward. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, and we'll read verse 18. This is actually the reference that we're reading here in Galatians. So in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because you have obeyed my voice in your seed. And what did we just read? What was his seed? Who's he talking about?
Jesus.
Jesus. What did the Jews think?
Them.
Seeds.
Them.
Right? So they were sons of Abraham. And they took Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and they said, see, we're the promise. Why do I bring that up? I bring that up because sometimes we're hard on the Jews, right? There's a lot of information there. In Genesis 18 and verse 18. This is another one. It's true, but it can be taken out of context. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So if we take that out of context, we can say as a Jew, see, we're sons of Abraham. We have a promise that you don't have. But is that what's being said? No, Paul's telling them it's through the seed. What was the seed? The seed was Christ. What did we get through Christ? That's that promise. Okay. Let's look at. So in verse 15, he says, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls it or adds to it. What's he talking about there? Chris?
Change the word.
Yeah. So that's the gist of it right there. But what's he using? He's using our example. So if I enter into a contract with Bob, and we have it all drawn up, and we have it stamped and signed, and it's binding, isn't it? And so we have a binding contract that John can't change, even if John has a better idea. We have a contract. Promise, covenant with Abraham. 430 some years later, the law is given. Why was the law given? To teach people, to be a tutor, correct? Does it change the covenant?
No.
That's his point. And then he goes on to say, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds. And then we're going to jump up here. Oh, I lost this. There we go. Verse 20. Verse 19. What is the purpose, then, does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And if it was appointed through angels, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, the mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. What's he talking about there?
A mediator negotiates between two different parties.
Okay.
God doesn't negotiate.
Who is the mediator here?
Didn't have one, the high priest.
Right? So, God, through Moses, gave law. God, through Moses, gave the law. Does Moses come back and annul the promise?
No.
It's just a step. It's just a step. So, once a covenant is made, especially by God, then it cannot be changed. Now, I don't know if I'm explaining this as well as a professional would, but we need to understand that, right? So the promise, so in the Jews' mind, you can't see over there, can you? I moved the TV, but I'm not touching that thing. Jews' mind, promise, law, individual, people. What's God's plan? Promise, people. That was his plan all along. Carol.
I think it demonstrates that Abraham is the father of all because God made a promise, and the promise saved them before the law. The law can't save you. So the promise that he gives afterwards through Jesus also saves. So the law isn't the saving part. So he's going back and showing you were saved before, you can be saved after, and the law doesn't save. And I guess you would say that the high priest would have been the mediator, sort of.
Yeah, so the high priest goes to that mediator position.
Yeah.
But now who's our mediator?
Christ.
Christ. So it's, I don't know, I think it's interesting when we look at things like this, to kind of go back and see where the Jews could have made their errors. Why do you think I focus on things like that?
Don't make the same mistake, maybe.
Yeah, maybe so that we don't just get stuck in the sheep mode, the follow mode, the believe what's preached mode, and we study and we show ourselves approved. Carol?
But also, we can fall into exactly the same pitfall, and that is Well, it's the law. Well, it's not the law that Jesus gave us that saves us. It's the promise. It's the love. It's the love of the neighbor. Everything's hung on. And you can't get so focused on what's in the Bible. You have to do every single little nitty, or you won't ever be saved, because that's not what God is now saying. He's saying that improves you, that gets you more closer to perfection, tells you what not to do. But you have to not lean on this as law the way that the Jews felt about the law.
I understand exactly what you're saying, and I agree with it.
But.
There's always a but.
We have to be careful, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that understanding is accurate. I mean, what does James say is true and undefiled religion?
Is it purpose and
whatever?
Yeah.
To do
these physical works, right? But if we just take that, right? If we just take that verse, and we don't look at the context, and we don't look at everything, what can we justify? How about not being here?
Yeah.
Could I justify not being here by just using that verse and saying, well, you know, I was visiting, I was serving soup or the food line. I was doing all these good things, right? We talked about faith. What is faith? Faith is the sum of the works of faith. Obedience, right? But to Carol's point, it's having the right mindset when you're doing those things. We recognize that we've become sons, okay? That's a generic term. Because there is no male or female. There is no, like, we're just children of God. And in children of God, we are taught things that we need to do, right? But when we sin, what do we have that the people under the law didn't have?
You have an advocate with the Father.
Yeah, you have an advocate with the Father. Chris, did you have some?
That's an awesome answer.
Okay. I saw him right there. No? We give up? So, Paul has been trying to impress upon the Galatians that what they were given when they were established as a church, when they were baptized, when they received the Holy Spirit, is so much better than what they had under the law or didn't have under the law. Go ahead, Eileen.
When I was studying this, I looked some things up and I thought this explained Jesus is presented as a source of freedom from the law and basis of salvation by faith. Believers are united in him no matter their background, so, and salvation is through grace.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. So, you know, under what we're reading here, that the Galatians were being taught, all right, so you can be a Christian, Carol, but, you know, you're not one of us. So you have to become one of us. Right? You have to be one of the special people. And we're not taught that, are we? I mean, if you just, so I get to stand up here and look at y'all, and unless you sit in the back like me, you don't get to look at y'all. You have the view in front of you, but I see everybody, and I see different backgrounds, different beliefs. Okay? There was a section in my notes, and I don't know, I'm just not, I don't study other religions, so I don't like to do contrast too much, but talking about Moses being a mediator, the priest being a mediator, where there was this mediator, this one mediator that did the mediating for the multitude, and how really that's the view with the position of Pope.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not as simple as that. When you're sitting down and you're talking with people who have been raised in a different religion, and we have to remember that. You know, sometimes we think, well, I don't understand why you don't understand baptism. It's right here. It's in these verses. Right? But what problem did the Jews have? They had all this history.
And that's all they had.
That, right? So they have all this history. We have to be mindful when we're teaching people. Now, Paul came in hot and heavy on these people because they should know better. Right? They should know better. I came to you. I did miracles. We laid hands on individuals. They were imparted gifts. Y'all were baptized. You were shown examples of Christ, and then you went back to the old, right? So he's being pretty heavy with them. Sometimes when we're trying to teach the world, we can get a little heavy-handed, can't we? You know, when the young boys come knock on your door and they're dressed in their suits and they have a little thing that says elder on it, and we just want to beat them up, right? We just, no, man, sit down and study with them. Show them some love. Understand that they're following what a lot of your children follow, right? What they were taught as a child, and they just trusted the people that were teaching them. So let's have a soft heart.